Tonight on our weekly comprehensive Bible study, we look back to the very beginning and the incredible journey of Sarai, Sarah, the mother of nations, a story of faith, promise, and the God who sees.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Another episode of Last Christian. We're having a good old time. We are on Bible study day. Yay. There's so much to talk about with Abraham, so we're going to go on to Sarah right now. Sarah, or depending on when you ask, it's Sarai or Sarah. So, Joel, welcome back to the show. We're going to have a good time today.
I'm looking forward to it, David. And, you know, you're right. And we've done a lot of stuff with Abraham. And not a whole lot with Sarai or Sarah. And you know, it took me a while to figure out the difference between the two when first reading a Bible long, long time ago. But,
Wait a minute.
Yeah, and why the names were changed and all that kind of good stuff. You know, there's a whole lot to talk about there.
There is. And then you got to ask yourself, okay, why? Why'd they change the name?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get into that a little bit, too. You want to pray us into the show?
Make sure to
talk about wise things.
Sure. Father, we come to you, and we ask that you please bless this show, number one. And number two, please give David the words to say today and in this teaching. Give me some crazy questions to ask him that I know some people out there have on their mind, to where hopefully they will receive the message the way that we intend it, and allow the Holy Spirit to come into their life to where they can accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and carry that Holy Spirit with them all the way to eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. We agree. All right. So Sarai is one of those figures where, you know, you don't really think of it, right? But the more you gather about her from Genesis and in the New Testament, apocryphal literature, she becomes basically a theological hinge, if you would, for covenant, promise, and identity. It's pretty interesting because we did speak about this before, but since this is her topic here, we're going to recognize it again, that every single Jew is now born out of a miracle because it was the miracle of Sarah that she was old beyond her years. And then God said, well, wait another 13 years since beyond your years. Mm-hmm. And then had Isaac. So that's pretty interesting. There is the hinge there. Imagine if she didn't have Isaac.
The millions of
Jews we had over time. And the 8 million or so that are around today.
Yeah.
How many? 12 million?
It wouldn't have happened, right?
What would we talk about? We wouldn't even have a show.
Well, the covenant would have never been confirmed, I guess, would be the best way to say that. And we kind of would have lost our point, right?
Yeah. And it'd be like, would he have chosen someone else or did he like specifically do this on purpose?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Hmm. When we get to eternity, we'll find out.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be a couple weeks again because that's kind of the way we roll. We're going to go through all the biblical references, Old Testament, New Testament.
Okay.
We'll try and summarize them as the best we can. Mm-hmm. Key themes in her life in the canonical text and how the New Testament, you know, what the, you know, the Jews at the time of Jesus, how did they view Sarah? That's interesting, right? Because it's probably a lot different than today. And then also we'll see Sarah in apocryphal literature. We have Second Temple, like Jubilees, Jasher, the Testament of Abraham. It's in there.
Okay.
And then also the there's something called the Other Sarah in Tobit.
Well, let me ask you this, because the first time I've ever heard that, the Testament of Abraham.
There's lots of those types of things.
Okay, that's the first time I've ever heard that, David. Can you expand on that just a little bit?
Yeah, there's a bunch of the writings of the church fathers, and particularly back then they would have them. And let's go to Dead Sea Scrolls and the Essenes.
Okay.
They had all of them. Okay, they had all the Testaments of the fathers. So the 12 tribes. Every one of them wrote a testament and a prophecy for their offspring.
Oh,
so each tribe had their own.
Okay.
And then there's the, you know, Testament of Abraham. Even Moses had one. Mm. They would just write this like an autobiography kind of thing.
Okay.
And then if God has anything else for them to say, they do that. And they've even got some allegedly back to Adam that, you know, Noah took on the boat. But those are excellent writings to have. The issue was God kind of boiled them all down and said, okay, this is the Bible.
Yeah.
All right. Because if you start, oh, you got to read this one and then this one and then this one and this one and this one and this one and this one, you'll be 107 by the time you get done with them all.
Yeah. Well, you know, as crazy as it sounds, the Bible is kind of like the Cliff Notes.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I mean, that's really,
it really
crazy.
Is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I don't want to take any more time there, but, you know, that's the first time I'd ever heard that particular one. So I wanted to get some information.
Well, yeah. And just think of all the tribes of Israel. Each one of them had their own testament.
Okay.
Okay. And then, yeah, it's exactly that. It's Cliff Notes. This is the essential stuff you need to know.
Right.
You know, and then it's all spread out as well. It's like a hologram.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you cut like a picture of a hologram off, you could still see the whole hologram. Isn't that weird?
Hmm. Yeah, okay.
It's kind of like, that's a quantum level, you know, light.
Yeah, that's picture, out of my
those,
league.
Those hologram cards. But that's what the Bible's like. You could, you know, people try and take a book out here or there, but you're still going to have that doctrine of baptism. You're still going to have that doctrine of salvation by grace, by faith alone in Christ. And, you know, all the doctrines that are in there, there's not like one, okay, where is the chapter on baptism? Well, it's kind of spread out all over the place. You know, and there's pictures of it all over. Where is the doctrine of the Messiah coming? Well, it's kind of everywhere.
All over, right. Yeah, that
so when you see, even if you cut a couple pieces out, you're still going to see the picture. And God designed it that way on purpose so no one could, you know, pollute his word.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And matter of fact, remember the guy named Paul?
Yes, I do. Saul to Paul.
Yes, sir. So he says, I am the apostle to the Gentiles, right? And do you know why he said that?
Because he was a Gentile?
Nope, he was actually a Pharisee of Pharisees.
I know he was Jewish.
I don't know.
I had no idea. I just threw that out there just to get back at that.
You had to say something. Gargamel. What's his name? Or the Smurf guy. Gamaliel. That he studied under the guy who was really smart. He was like the top Pharisee. That's funny. But his ancestor, Benjamin, remember? It was Paul of the tribe of Benjamin. And his father wrote in the Testament of Benjamin, wrote that. He says, one of my children,
when
the Messiah comes, will be the apostle to the Gentiles.
Yeah, I have
and
heard
he
that
said,
before.
That's me.
Yeah, I have heard that one before.
So there are other writings, and he took that as gospel, if you will. So
his mission was laid out right in front of him.
So that's so they took those words seriously. You know, you see in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they had Enoch and they had Joshua and they had all the other writings as well because they took them seriously. And that's what we need to do really today. You know, we need to vet them, obviously, make sure it's a good book and not one of them crazy ones that the Gnostics wrote or whatever. But some people will completely dismiss them altogether, and that's not right. Yeah, we have the focus. Focus on this. When you get this down, that'll shine some other understanding on you. But you can't really dismiss the other writings. That's going to give you insight and wisdom along the way.
Historical references,
Yeah, I mean, even Josephus, who was technically a Jew turned, you know, Gentile, and then, but he knew, the high priest's son. Remember the high priest who, you know, decided to crucify Jesus? His son was in there. He knew him. He knew a lot of the people that were in on it, and he was a lot closer than we think. and some of the things he said about Jesus too were very interesting. Hmm. Yeah, he knew. He came along somewhere around 50 AD.
Yeah, so, like 20 years cool. before.
Anyway, that's that. Now. Mm-hmm. Okay. You see what happens when you ask about one book called Tobit?
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, we're known from going off the rails here on this show. You know, that just proves my point. We're never scripted. Not one thing. Okay.
That's entirely too funny. All right. So Sarai appears about 12 times, okay. All in Genesis, before the name change. Mm-hmm. You see. Let's get them up. Let me see. Genesis 11:29, 30, 31, 12:5, 12:11, 12:17, 16:2, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. That's the Englishman's Concordance here. Let's get you the my program crash. Let me pull it up again.
Well, you know, just to where people know, David, I've got the notes up right in front of me here, so if they see me looking off some voice, I'm not. It's not that I'm disinterested.
Well, we do that anyway. We're in space.
I'm very interested, so I'm looking at the notes.
Yeah. And it's from the word Sarai. It's from the word captain or head person.
Okay.
So it kind of literally meant she was the boss.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, anybody that's married understands that right away. Go ahead.
So that's pretty cool. I should name my wife Sarai. So what that does, it changes her from being bossy, mm-hmm. okay, to Sarah. Okay. And Sarah is... indicate a multitude of persons, but the name means princess or woman of nobility. And it's because, okay. So what you're doing is you're taking Sarai, you're putting a hey at the end, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So now she's all bossy and whatnot. And then the hey comes in, the Holy Spirit comes into her, and now it means princess.
Okay.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So she goes from bossy to princess. I love it.
Yeah, well, I would use another word for the bossy part, but I'll let
yeah, but we're not allowed
I'll
to.
Let,
yeah, we're
I'll let people air. Figure that one out for themselves.
Yeah, it's Karen.
I'll let it. Okay.
I just see her now with the big bouffant hairdo.
There you go.
Pearl. Big old string of pearl. Ay, vey. All right, so she was introduced as Abraham's wife, and then the family moves from Ur of mm-hmm. Ur of the Chaldees to Haran.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it talks about her being barren. So that's where we see, and it's not until she's filled with the Holy Spirit. So she's all bossy and whatnot mm-hmm. until the Holy Spirit fills her, and it's now you're going to be called Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And the princess, and then it kind of changed her heart because that's yeah. She named the kid Isaac because it means what? You remember?
Oh crap! What was it?
No, you know.
I know. But I don't remember.
Laughter.
Oh yeah.
Because she overheard the angels telling Abraham, "Hey, listen, you and Sarah are going to have a baby." So she starts laughing.
Yeah, she started laughing. Yeah.
And then the angel, who's really? Pretending to be a man there, and the angel's like, "Why are you laughing?" Right? I didn't laugh. Yeah, you did. Now you're going to name your kid Laughter.
Well, you know, I think that may
be. He has to remember it for the rest of his life.
That may be one of the first references. I know it's not the first, but you know, one of the initial references anyway of do you think anything is too hard for God? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he makes himself very visible from time to time without actually being where you see him.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You know, without a doubt, it had to be, you know.
It's yep.
Very visible.
And it's like, he does that all the time. He mm-hmm. he wants to do things that are not only impossible but ridiculous.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. This way you're like, that's ridiculous. Watch this. I'm going to flood the whole earth, kill everybody except 8 people on a boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When it's never
that's
rained
ridiculous
before.
When you
yeah.
think about
when
it.
It's never rained before. You didn't. You left that part
yeah.
out.
And it's never rained. Rain. Get out of here.
That's
and then I remember the old Reese's commercial. They had the Reese's and the peanut butter cups.
Oh yeah.
And and they had some men and they were hiding in the cave. It was before Noah's Day, and that was kind of their sin, is they were mixing the peanut butter with the chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, hey, you know, Noah's leaving in the boat. And he's like, oh, and they grab their Reese's, and they head out and says, oh, let's just wait till the rain lets up.
Yeah, you're going to be working a long time with that one. Yeah, the waterfall is not really rain, but more like a waterfall.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's going back. Yeah, if you guys wanted to, you can go back and look at some of our earlier shows, and you'll hear all about that.
Yeah, and that was funny because it said, and so the combination of peanut butter and chocolate had to wait. That was a whole crux of the commercial. They invented it before the flood, but
yeah. And then I remember the one where they smashed together, you know, and I made it initially. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, just giving away our age here.
Yeah, for real.
All right. So, but check this out. Mm-hmm. He was bossy and all, mm-hmm. but twice the kings of where they went to wanted to take her as the wife.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. They stole her and it's like, oh, look, Abram's just mm-hmm. walking around with this woman where mm-hmm. I'm the king and I'm just going to go take her. I remember, it's good to be the king. The History of the World, Part 1 with Mel
mm-hmm.
Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to be
mm-hmm.
the king. Yeah. So, they would say, hey, yo, she's beautiful. We'll go get her. Now, imagine this. She's up there, right? So mm-hmm. at this part, she's got to be 50s, 60s, somewhere in there,
mm-hmm.
at least. And then they're like, oh, they want to kill Abram just so they could take his wife.
Yeah.
Because she's that pretty.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty pretty.
Yeah, she's got to be like Miss Universe type stuff there.
And yeah.
I'm talking before the change stuff happens, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And definitely not a tranny. So
right.
Like today.
That's supposed
to be. So, and what happens is God's like, nah, that's not going to happen. So you can mm-hmm. see his hand in here too, because now all the plagues and then the angel came down and it's like, if you take his wife, I'm going to kill you, like, mm-hmm. and everybody, you know.
Yeah.
So
what was crazy about that, David, I mentioned this on the earlier shows when we were doing it, but what was crazy about it is that, you know, you would think that the king would have been so ticked off about that, he would have killed Abram. But instead, mm-hmm. while he was ticked off, I'm sure, it also, he was petrified of Abram. I mean,
yeah.
At least that's the way I look at it.
Here comes an angel to stand up for him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably to be nice to this guy.
Yeah. There you go.
Protecting him all along the way. That's what I'm saying. He does some ridiculous things.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be God because it's so absurd.
Yeah.
You know, why is my donkey talking?
He has a great sense of humor. Mm-hmm. People don't understand that, but God really does have a great sense of humor. And the Bible also references the fact in more than one place that God laughs. You know,
oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's just something to think about. And when you think about it, you never hear about him, you know, I'm not going to say it 100%, but you don't hear about his sadness except for the fact that he can't embrace everybody, I guess.
Right. His sadness was for Lazarus when he died.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that people, you know, he came down and died for people, and then they refused to accept his free gift of salvation.
There you go.
That makes him sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You put it in perfect words that I couldn't pull out.
But he does like to, and he likes to mess with people too. Like, you know, there they are. They're in the middle of a storm on this giant lake, right? The Sea
mm-hmm.
of Galilee.
Right.
And he's just walking by, walking across the water.
Yeah, right.
And then the other time he's sleeping in the bottom of the boat. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Yeah,
that's the one I was thinking.
What are you? You of little faith. You, why are you bothering me? That's what he's saying.
Yeah, just calm down.
Calm the storm.
That had to be a shock too, you know. I mean,
yeah.
That's a reason why, and I know I'm getting off base here, but again, you know, we go off the rails. But that's the reason to me it is so difficult for me to understand how Judas changed, or, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say he changed because I think he was like that all along, but man, I mean, to see all this stuff and still do what he did,
right?
That's crazy, right?
Yep.
Gracious man.
And then Jesus trusted him with the bag.
Yeah, on purpose, I'm sure.
Treasurer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a side note on that too. Remind me about the bag and the side note when we're done here.
Okay.
All right. Because that's a good one too.
Okay. I'll write it
down. So, and I think another way he's messing with him is like when, remember he's on the boat, throw your net on the other side.
Yep.
That was a good one. He's messing with him there. and then he's messing with him. Okay, listen. I'm going to stay here and talk to these people. You go to the other side. I'll meet you over there. How are you going to get there? Don't worry about it.
Walk across the water. That's what I'm going to do.
You don't worry about nothing. Don't worry. I'll see you over there. Okay. And then they get in the boat and it says immediately they were at the shore.
Uh-huh.
We're out in the middle. How do we land on the beach? That must have been great. You know, just
man,
see him mess with you like that.
That would have been cool.
And they're like, okay, are you going to take over now? Nah.
No.
Not yet.
I'm going to wait a couple of thousand years before I do that.
It's not for you to know. Don't worry about it. Oi.
Where were we with Sarah? Where were we with Sarah? Okay.
So we're up to Genesis 17 now. It says, Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her. And give thee a son also of her.
Mm-hmm.
She shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her.
Mm.
And Abraham laughs at the promise.
Mm-hmm.
God explicitly names Sarah as the mother of Isaac.
Right.
So that's cool. So they had, there's the irony in that too. Oh, you're going to laugh, are you? Well, now we're going to call your kid Laughter, and every single time you call him, you're going to be reminded of how you laughed at me when I told you you were going to have a kid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Think of that, you know, of what he really put into the Bible. We just go, oh, Isaac, that's right. He's, well, his name was Yitzhak in Hebrew. Yes, it's very, very stoic and probably, you know, all this big stuff. No, he was making fun of him. And he's like, you're going to call him Laughter now. and you're going to be reminded every day. When you know he's stealing things from the grocery store, or you know he's throwing rocks at the neighbor's kid, Isaac, and he's like, "Oh man, I laughed because I wanted this kid." So God is great.
Yeah,
God knows how to mess with
people. That's great. That's great.
Mm-hmm. So. That goes on to Genesis 18. Three visitors, right? And they're here.
Mm-hmm.
And one announces that Sarah will have a son. She hears in a tent and laughs inwardly because she is old.
Right.
So that's when the Lord rebukes her. Mm-hmm. And then we have the sister wife, again in Gerar. So in Genesis 20, we didn't even
talk about this one.
No, we're not up to 20 yet, but since we're on Sarah, we're just kind of got to go through there. Yeah. And there's a lot in this, so we're kind of rushing through a lot of it, too.
We got at least another week. Yeah, we got at least another week here, so we don't have to get into it yet.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So he goes to Gerar, and that's when he's like, no, that's my sister. And because Abimelech took her, and God appears to Abimelech in the dream, warns him Sarah is restored, and then Abraham prays. And the woman's womb in Abimelech's house are opened again. So Abimelech actually basically stole her because he thought it was his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I want to have kids because my wife can't have kids. And he's like, so Abraham's like, okay, I'll pray that your women have kids and they'll give me my wife back.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. And here's some stuff. And here's some more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kept giving him more stuff. So that's pretty cool. And then we have the birth of Isaac and the expulsion of Hagar. Yeah. That's in 21. Mm-hmm. So the Lord visits Sarah, as she has spoken. She conceives and bore Isaac in Abraham's old age. But she says, God has made me to laugh so that all that hear me will laugh with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Sarah sees Ishmael mocking and laughing at Isaac again. Mm-hmm. So she demands Hagar and Ishmael be cast out. And God tells Abraham, and all that Sarah had said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac thy seed shall be called. So sometimes we conflate these two things. When Hagar was pregnant, she was thrown out, and then, you know, the angel of the Lord came to her under the tree and said, like, listen, go back and just do what she said. Mm-hmm. This, you know, in Genesis 21, Hagar is tossed out again, but Ishmael is 13 at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And we see the pictures of him, and she's got her little boy, and she's trying to do this.
Yeah, and that's not it.
No, she was pregnant the first time, so she didn't have that. But now he's 13, so he's probably even bigger than her at this point.
Yeah, and the thing about that one from a previous teaching she had was the fact that the reason that they got kicked out that time is because Ishmael was basically threatening Isaac.
Yeah.
With death.
He was probably older, actually.
And there was even some writings, I don't remember from where, some writing that he tried to shoot him with a bow and arrow. So, so that would be a good reason to get kicked out. I understand
that's
that.
Probably another good reason, Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's at least 13, because he was 13 years older. But at this point, how old was Isaac?
Yeah,
when he was making fun of him. So he could have been 17, could have been 20, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood. Because obviously it was a little bit after that.
Right.
And that's when they were thrown out with the mother. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll get into some more of the rest of the stuff in the second half, but I wanted to tell you about the bag of money.
Okay.
All right. So Judas was a thief.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he was the one entrusted with being the treasurer, which that's what it meant to hold the bag of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the church, the age-old church, put forth this idea that Jesus was poor.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the case. Okay. He wasn't poor. And there's a couple things we go into. But right at his birth, the three kings came, and they bought him gold and frankincense and myrrh, the three most expensive things on the planet. Mm-hmm. And they thought he was the king of kings, so they're not just going to bring him a little, you know, little soup bowl full of myrrh and this gold coin they found on eBay. They bring him treasure. So he had a lot of treasure.
Yeah, it wasn't three guys on three camels. That's what's been depicted a million times.
Yeah, it was three guys on three camels. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to just, the Lord has me prompted to do that when we, you know, come back in the second half, talk a little bit more about how Jesus wasn't poor. And sorry if I messed up your theology, but you're wrong. He's not. In the meantime, he also paid off your debt.
Amen.
Okay. You've sinned. And he says, the day you eat that fruit, you're going to die. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God that he has for you is eternal life. He paid off that debt with his own blood, became a man in order to fulfill the requirements of that contract. So I would encourage you to accept that contract, receive the Lord, and live for him all the rest of your days. So, Lord willing, we'll see you guys in the second half. Bye.
For centuries, the olive has symbolized health, peace, and blessing. Now, Oliabo brings that legacy to life with ultra-pure olive oil capsules, olive leaf extracts, radiant skincare, and pain relief innovations. And right now, before the official launch, you can join for free as a business builder or affiliate. No fees, no purchase required. Health, beauty, and prosperity, all in one movement. Join today at lastchristian.net.
Discover real stories, wisdom, and joy every day on Conversations with Dawn Karima. Join award-winning host Dr. Dawn Karima as she shares uplifting conversations with artists, authors, educators, and culture keepers from across Native America. Hear the voices and stories that inspire faith, hope, and strength for every listener. Tune in daily at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net. Conversations with Don Karima, where good words and good medicine meet.
Okay, I think we made it back.
Yeah, we did. And David, I'm going to jump right in on you, okay? Because you asked me to talk about this, and I think it's pretty much where you were going anyway. Tell me about the bag and the side note, because that's
the bag and Judas.
That's the side note, huh?
Yeah. Well, you think about it. Mm-hmm. Jesus knew who Judas was. Right?
Sure. Yeah, that's what I said. You know, it's not like Jesus was surprised that this guy was going to do this. He knew it was going to happen. But you know, what's mind blowing to me, and it will always be, is the fact that Judas saw this stuff. He saw him raise people from the dead. He saw people walk. You know, cleanse lepers. You name it, he did it. Right, and still. Still did it. I mean, you talk about the ultimate in stupidity. This guy tops the list.
I don't get it. So check this out. You remember John, right? In the book of John.
Sure.
So in chapter 12, it talks about Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard. Remember spikenard?
I don't remember.
It was a year's wages. So it was spikenard ointment. And she wiped his feet with her hair.
Yeah, I remember.
And
that
the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. That's how they did things back then, because you know, those oils and ointments—that was their medicine, and it was way better than this pharmaceutical crap that they got now. Frankincense—you can heal a lot of things with frankincense. So the spikenard was like a kind of moisturizer, skin conditioner kind of stuff. Okay. It was very expensive. All right, because it was so hard to make and so good for you. And she anointed the feet of Jesus and then with her hair wiped his feet off. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment because it smelled good. Then says one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Well, it was 300 denarii, which was a year's wage. Why didn't you sell this and give the money to the poor? And then verse 6, it says, then he said, not that he cared for the poor. Or this he said, not because he cared for the poor. In other words, he didn't care for the poor. That's not why he said this. But because he was a thief and had the bag and he bare what was put therein. So that's old English for he stole money out of the bag
all the time. That's what I'm thinking. You know, just he was taking a cut of everything that was given, in for lack of a better term, tithe to Jesus.
So the New American Standard said he used to pilfer. I like that word better. He would pilfer what was put into it. Think of that. Okay. Here you got Jesus, the poor Jesus, and they all got these ratty, ripped rags and the things that we see, and they're walking around, you know, and they're just kind of traipsing through in the wilderness,
barely
sleeping out in the woods.
Yeah.
And you got this picture, and it's like, no, that's not what it was. Number one, he had how many disciples?
12 total. Well, there was a lot of other.
Yeah, and then he had other disciples, remember? We didn't know about. And then there's the woman that followed him around, too.
Right.
So I'd say at least 25.
Yeah, he had a band of folks, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
A whole band of people.
Roadies.
They were roadies. Who's paying for all this stuff?
Yeah, he was, without a doubt.
Exactly. Okay. So here's the deal. Jesus is going around with him and all his roadies, right? He's got to buy them food. They got to get lodging for him every night. And he said, Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. Read the story, okay? He told the guy he healed, don't tell anybody that I healed you because then they won't let me in the town. He goes ahead. He tells the town. The town says, crap. You know, listen, you can't come here tonight. We changed our minds. All right? You're that teacher's fella. So now that night, they didn't have Uber. There was no Amtrak. You couldn't go anywhere. They're walking around. That night, they had to sleep in a wilderness And it was an unusual thing. And that's when the dude came up to him and said, hey, listen, I'll be your disciple. He says, really? Will you give up everything and sleep in the woods?
Rich man, the rich man.
Tonight, right. You know, rabbits have holes and birds have nests, and I ain't got nowhere to sleep tonight. Mm-hmm. This is my life, he was saying. Mm-hmm. Whereas you might get thrown out, taking up your cross. It didn't say, hey, he doesn't have any money and he doesn't have a house. Because in John chapter 2, he talks about it. The John the Baptist disciples came to Jesus and like, dude, we want to hang out with you. Where do you live? And he said, come and see. And they hung out with him at his house for the whole day. So Jesus had a house, people. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he probably had a nice one because he was a carpenter.
Yeah.
Hello. Probably built a real nice house.
I bet he could really build too.
Yep.
Not one mistake. Imagine that.
Yeah, that's wow. Perfect. Hey, this is perfectly level. How'd you do that?
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible.
How'd that happen? It just is. I don't know. So, well, think about it. So he had enough money to have a traveling band of people pay for their food, their lodging, and any necessities along the way.
Right.
And Judas was the treasurer. So let me ask you a question. If you only have a dollar in your pocket, do you need a treasurer?
No, not at all.
Okay, so he probably had a bunch of money, which was in the bag, and enough for this thief to pilfer the bag and still have enough to pay for 25 or more people.
Yeah, without 11 other disciples figuring it out along the way before it was time to figure it out.
Yeah. So
even though I think a couple of them may have had an idea, but
yeah, and they didn't want to say nothing.
Right.
Right. Tell him this guy. I mean, doesn't he know? I mean, he's God. No. No, they were surprised. I think too, because but this was afterwards. John wrote afterwards. He used to pilfer after they found out. He wrote the story. But that's it. I mean, when you look at everything that they tossed dice or drew straws for the robe that he was wearing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't
and
do that.
That was prophesied too, people. That was prophesied too. Yes.
Yeah. What are the odds, right? Mm-hmm. So, that's a royal robe he was wearing. Mm-hmm. You don't, get a royal robe if you're just a poor guy on the street.
Right.
So don't buy into that Jesus was poor. He was not.
Right.
So anyway, that ends my rant about that. Just felt it needed to be said.
Yep.
All right. So here's Sarah. We're going to back on. She's 127. She lives to 127. Okay, after that. Which means Isaac was how old when she died? She was 90.
Okay. She was 90, and he, I don't know. I don't know how old he was.
Well, she was 90 when she had him. And she's 127. So he's 37 years old, and he's still a mama's boy.
Yeah, that's the crazy part.
Yeah, so he's still a mama's boy because he's living over there, and he's like, oh, I got to go get a wife now. My mommy's dead. So Abraham's servant mentions Sarah to Laban's family, the son born to him in his old age. Okay? Mm-hmm. So... listen, Sarah's dead. Abraham needs a wife. We're going to go to Laban's family.
You mean Isaac?
Oh, Sarah died. Isaac needs a wife.
Yeah, Abraham got married again, didn't he?
Yeah. So he got married. So clearly, if he's 10 years older, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he's 137 at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here's Abraham, 137 years old. And he goes and gets another wife and has six more kids.
Yeah, I was going to say, he had a lot more with the second wife than he did with the first one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's like he thought he was old, back before at 100. And now he's over 140, obviously.
Right.
Uh-huh. But at this time he's coming around and he's still having kids. So it's like God's like, see, I told you. And then so And then we got the story of Isaac. Maybe we'll do Isaac next week. That's a good one. Okay. There's so much to Isaac that is
there's type a ton of Christ. That's crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Isaac brings Rebekah back to his mother's tent. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So here's mama's boy. Mm-hmm. He's got to go get a wife because he misses his mommy.
Yeah.
And that's when he's comforted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, like you said, his mama's boy, he'd never really done anything for himself at this point, right? I mean, it didn't.
I can imagine. Listen, it's not like she's, if he dies, I can have another one. So she did everything she could to pamper his kid.
That's an excellent point right there. Yeah. I mean, he was a very, very special only child.
Yeah. Okay. And she's like, and I'll be damned if I'm going to let Ishmael take over. And
there you go. Yeah, I mean.
As a matter of fact, get him out of here.
Mm-hmm, yeah, she didn't want anything to do with him. But now,
and technically, by law, Ishmael was her son because it was her handmaid. And it was for the sole purpose of them having a baby. So technically he was, but he's like, no, she's like, no way.
Didn't she have to kind of hold him out to be her son at some point? I mean, she didn't know that Isaac was coming when Ishmael was born. It was another, 10 years, I think?
Yeah, 13 years.
13 later. Years. Okay. She had to have said, this is my kid. At some point, she had to tell somebody that, right?
That's what it was. And then until she finally had her own and then, switched teams on him.
Yeah.
And said, no, I was kidding. You got to wonder what was going on. And there's really nothing about that. And it's not written anywhere.
Yeah.
It's not. But what happened when Ishmael was 5 and technically was her kid and then 7, and then he for Thanksgiving, he did the hand and he made it a turkey, It's like...
You have to wonder, and like you said, it's not really written anywhere, but you have to wonder what the relationship was between those two.
Did she take him to all his little league games? I don't know.
Right?
I just don't know.
Okay. All right. But now, I know we're going to get into it next week. We'll talk about just for a touch here. That Isaac and Ishmael did come back together again, right, for the burial of Sarah?
Yeah, when the burial of Abraham.
At burial of Abraham, okay, not of Sarah, but okay.
Right. So, Abraham bought a, where is it? Let's get into the verse, Genesis 23. The Sarah was 127, and these were the years of Sarah's life. She died in Kirjath Arba, of course. Mm-hmm. The name is Hebron. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth. Okay. I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Mm-hmm. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, hear us, my lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. In other words, you pick one. Pick which one you want.
Yeah.
None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people, even the children of Heth, and communed with them, saying, if it be in your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar. Zohar, that was with Adam Sandler. The great Zohar. Was that it? Yeah. All right, so he took the cave of Machpelah, which he had, which is at the end of the field, and for as much money as it's worth, I shall give it to you for possession of burying place against you. Okay. So he picked out a cave, Machpelah, and then he bought the cave, and the children of Heth are like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. We'll do this. All right. So that's where Sarah was buried.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Abraham is buried later on. In the same cave.
That's when Isaac and Ishmael came together. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep. I'm with you. Okay.
All right, cool. So that was like, so he was 175. So that means Isaac was 75 years old when he buried his father.
Wow. Mm.
You know, when you really put these numbers together, you're thinking, oh, here's this young man. No, he was 75.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he was at an age where his father thought he would never have any kids. And now he's that age when he buried his father. Yeah. And he saw
that's crazy when you think about it. You know, the covenant. I mean, even Abraham had to have been thinking, you know, Isaac needs to get out of the house and, you know, he needs to find a wife or something.
Pansy.
He's going to break this. He's going to break the covenant all by himself.
Right.
Little did he know.
And he's like, let's make some creme brulee. Listen, go find yourself a wife quick. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. You're getting up there, son. You're getting pretty old. That's crazy.
And then Jacob later on recalls the burial place as well. They buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. Mm-hmm. So Isaac's son or Abraham's grandson. So that's a cool story in itself too,
yeah.
Because, you know, it was the mother's choice. Again, did Sarah kind of mess up to begin with and said, okay, and then we get Ishmael. And it was her that sent Ishmael away and said, even this technically the second born son, because Ishmael was firstborn. Mm-hmm. So here we got that pattern again. Sarah sends the firstborn away, and then the secondborn becomes the only begotten son.
Yeah.
You with me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. We see the same thing happen again with Rebecca. All right. Mm-hmm. She sends Esau away. And then sneaks Jacob in to get the blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We see the same picture. Okay. The mother sends the firstborn away and then gets the firstborn rights to the secondborn.
Yep.
So now Jacob is that way.
Yeah. Because daddy's blind. Because daddy's blind.
Often, it's like, how hairy was he that he felt the goat skin?
Yeah.
You say Harry is a goat, really?
Yeah, that jumped out at me too. The very first time I ever read it, it's like, good grief, what's this? Is this guy a gorilla or what?
Bigfoot. Yeah, we call him Sasquatch. Maybe he'll catch on. I don't know. So we see that picture, and it's the same picture as in the beginning. Adam was the firstborn technically. Mm-hmm. But then it was Jesus, the second Adam, mm-hmm. which became the only begotten son.
Mm-hmm.
So God uses patterns over and over and over, and just keeps putting them in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's that. That's kind of the nutshell of that story. So let's look at Sarah in the New Testament, shall we?
Yeah. And this I'm looking forward to. Go ahead.
Okay, good. All right. So here's Paul. Remember that guy again, Paul, on Abraham's faith and Sarah's womb. So it's interesting. Let's go pull up Romans 4, shall we? Romans. What have the Romans ever done for us? And but he's talking about, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. What's he got to glory about, but not before God? For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Not to him that works is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Yeah, let's read that in normal English.
Okay.
The old English isn't working well there. I get it, but it's hard to, hey, we don't talk that way. What shall we say then that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Mm-hmm. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Not to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. So that speaks to a lot of things. People think that you're justified by works. They think like the anti-Semitics today. Mm-hmm. We talk about that a lot on this show. It's like where there's both sides of the story, you know. As a matter of fact, check out Mondo Gonzalez. He just did a really good study on this, put up on Prophecy Watchers. And it's right in line on what we're thinking. Mm-hmm. And it's, yes, Israel was called, you know, and it's right here. Abraham believed God, and that's why it was credited to him. Not because Abraham was perfect, you know, but believing God credited him to righteousness, so the seed was blessed. Now, all through that, he called them all sorts of things. They were whoremongers, and they were, you know, adulterous wife, and everything they did. They mm-hmm. went after false gods. But it was the promise of Abraham that he says, okay, what's going to go through your offspring? The Messiah is going to come. Mm-hmm. So there was a handful of people there. And people think that just on that note, well, Israel lost their, you know, appointed place, and now the church has replaced Israel. And that's not the case.
No.
Okay. It has nothing to do with how good they are or how wonderful they are. And they'll say, oh, well, you know, Israel's doing this and this and this, and they're, you know, the biggest gay people thing in the world, and they're mm-hmm. killing people, and they got it. Yeah. Well, that wasn't the question. We know that they're apostate. Okay. And that we don't necessarily agree with their politics or their behaviors or their religion. However, they were called by God, and he will chastise them until the point that they repent.
Right.
So while we honor Israel and bless them, the blessing is that they repent and change their wicked ways.
Well, when you think about it, David, just to butt in for a second here, what when you think about it, they have been punished throughout yep. history. You mean, just look at their history, the Holocaust yep. being, you know, probably, well, number one on yep. the list.
Where they are, the ninth of Av, right?
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. No country sanctioned more by the United Nations than Israel. Mm-hmm. Constantly under attack. Neighbors hate them. They're the only Jewish country in the world. Everybody blames them for everything, no matter what.
I mean,
they blame Israel more than they blame Trump, you know? So, I mean, think about it. You know, they've been bashed, and, you know, they've been bad more than once. They've done wrong more than once. But mm-hmm. God keeps putting this pressure on them to where eventually he can break through and say, hey, wake up, accept the fact that Jesus Christ is your Messiah. Quit denying it, you know, scream for him and tell him to come to you, and he will. Okay,
yep,
that's
until
it.
Until then, they won't.
I'm done with my rant. You can go now.
That's a good one. All right, so in Romans 4:19, it talks mm-hmm. about without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, mm-hmm. now as good as dead, since he was about to be 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, mm-hmm. but grew strong mm-hmm. in faith. So she's a picture of faith here, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go into Romans 9:9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hope's a promise. Mm-hmm.
And, yep, for this is a word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah will have a son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not only this, but there was Rebecca also, when she had conceived twins by one man, her father Isaac. Okay, so we'll talk about her later.
Yeah.
This but
a good
he,
story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He deemed this, so that was pretty cool. So there's in the New Testament. And then we have the allegory of Hagar and Sarah in Galatians 4:21. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. Let me see. The slave woman versus the free. And this gives a picture of what this was all about. So let's mm-hmm. read Galatians 4:21-31. Galatians. Hey, what happened here? Mm. Tell me, you who want to be under the law. All right. Uh-oh. So Sarah, this is the crux of where we were going today.
Mm-hmm.
You who want to be under the law. So we do have some friends that are little hyper Torah observant.
Yeah, just a few.
Now I get it. You want to do the feast days. That's cool. I do too. Mm-hmm. Those are nice. We love the feast days. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then they get into all the other stuff. You got to say Hashem, you know, you can't say Yahweh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They get, you know, really deep in the weeds here. So check this out.
Okay.
And they got to keep the laws. It's like, good luck trying to keep all the laws.
For real. Yeah.
You just broke one now, by the way. Mm-hmm. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. This is where people get the teaching from, right here. You know, Ishmael was born of the flesh. She's doing what she wants. So this is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Mm-hmm. Now, this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. So Hagar is in slavery with her children because she tried to do it according to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And he's telling them, this is like you trying to keep the law.
Right.
Yeah. So, but the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than the one of the one who has a husband. Mm-hmm. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. Okay? But as to the time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit. So the flesh dude was persecuting the spirit dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is now also. So it's mm-hmm. the same thing. So all these people that are working of the flesh and doing things their own way, trying to help God out, they persecute the ones who live according to the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We just trust the Lord. We believe in his promise. He said he's going to do it. So he's going to do it. And I'm just going to walk and tell, he's going to tell me where the steps. Right. My word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Mm-hmm. He's just going to tell, okay, step here, step here, step here. And that's what we're going to do, as opposed to trying to figure out our own steps.
Right.
And then winding up falling off a cliff.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of a free woman. For it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. All right. So that's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
Keep standing firm. Don't be, you know, yoked with slavery again by trying to keep the law. You want to be under the law? Good. You're keeping yourself with slavery. We get out of the law. And it talks about that again. We talk about that often. There's, you know, the heavenly Jerusalem, right? There's the new Jerusalem and then Jerusalem on earth. Mm-hmm. Jesus will rule and reign. Israel will be the people that reign on the ground. The church will be the people who rule and reign with him in the air. Amen. If you want to rule and reign with Jesus in the air at his throne as the bride of Christ, then you need to join us. He paid for your sins. Okay. Do it now before the rapture. He paid for your sins. That means you can repent of your old sins, take on his new contract, accept that payment. And now you're not a slave to the world anymore. You're a bondservant to Christ. So, Lord willing, we'll see you guys on the next show. You guys have a blessed day. Bye.
Thank you for joining us tonight for the life of Sarai, Sarah, the mother of nations, the living testimony to God's faithfulness. We invite you to visit lastchristian.net for more biblical teaching, exclusive content, and ways to support our ministry. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this broadcast so others can hear the truth of God's word. And remember, join us every evening at 9 Eastern, 8 Central for another edition of The Last Christian Radio Show. Good night.
Imagine joining Starbucks as a tiny Seattle coffee shop. Or Monster Energy before the energy drink took over the world. Oleabo is that opportunity today, a bold, innovative startup with no fees or purchase requirements and the same energy and momentum. Don't look back one day wishing you had acted. Don't miss your chance. Get in now while Oliabo is still 100% free to join. Visit www.lastchristian.net today for all the details.